Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Episode 3. Everyone's a Winner. All life is a gamble, and our lives are the dice we throw. Marty Rubin. Part 1. Jim got up from his chair almost in a daze and took two steps toward Rhea. Her smile widened, and she dropped the bag to the floor before he reached her. They embraced, Rhea almost losing her balance as she was pushed back against the doorframe. "Easy, cowboy," she said, laughing, and took Jim's face in her hands, bringing it up and looking him in the eyes. "I'm happy to see you, too. How about a kiss for old time's sake?" Jim kissed her while still holding her in his arms. His body tingled, and every sensation was heightened. The taste of her lips, the smell of her hair, the texture of her leather jacket under his fingers, all were so intense that he felt like this was the first time he'd truly been alive in weeks. Mercedes grinned and made a face at them.
"Get a room, you two. But welcome back, Rhea. Great to see you again."
Rhea and Jim broke the kiss, and Rhea smiled at Mercedes.
"Yeah, you too. So what's going on here? I thought we'd just taken care of the Bay Area's resident supervillain, but you're saying there's a new one?"
"It's a bit of a long story." Jim put a hand to his lips and noticed he got a bit of lipstick on his fingers. Rhea noticed as well.
"Whoops, sorry. Didn't think about passionate kisses when I did my makeup. Silly me." "How could you not?" Mercedes said. "If you only knew how much he missed you."
"Yeah, thanks, Mercedes. I think I'll handle that part myself." Jim looked irritatedly at his assistant, but quickly got back to the issue they had been talking about.
"I'm serious, though. You need to get Connie to head home. Or at least make sure she never runs around alone in the city."
"Well, she's out alone right now." Mercedes looked at her phone. "And she hasn't texted or called, so I don't know where she's been."
"Get a hold of her. Can she handle the whole supernatural thing if you tell her about it?"
"Handle it? Maybe. Approve of you guys after I tell her? I doubt it. She's pretty religious. So a guy living forever after being dead might range somewhere on her evil scale."
"Okay, then that's your call. I just think we should..."
The phone on Mercedes' desk rang. She held up a hand to Jim and answered it.
"Tempest Investigations, how can we help you?"
"Why don't you come into the office?" Jim said to Rhea. "I'll explain about the whole villain thing."
"Daniel?"
Mercedes frowned into the phone.
"Daniel who?"
"Oh, that Daniel from Vegas. How are you?"
Rhea walked after Jim into the office, and he closed the door.
It didn't take more than a second from the door closing, however, until her arms were around him again and the kissing continued. This time it was him who was pushed back against the bookshelf, Rhea kissing him like her life depended on it. It lasted a few moments before they broke apart again, and she smiled.
There. Just so you know how much I have missed you.
I am glad you're back.
Jim still held her hand, feeling an absurd fear that if he let go, she would teleport away.
Me too. I've given what happened a lot of thought, both in the spirit world and in Vegas, and I came to the conclusion that you were right. I control the power. It doesn't control me. Or at least that's true for as long as I keep my focus. I could have done some evil stuff, but I held back. I think that means I really want to do the right thing, even if I've had a lot of red in my ledger over the years. So maybe it's time to do some good. I figured the best place to start was to return to the guy who actually said he loved me.
She hesitated, but then winked.
Which, it looks like you haven't changed your mind on, if I judge from your kisses.
No, of course I haven't. I just fear that you have returned to a more dangerous city this time.
Jim sat Rhea down on the couch and used the next few minutes to go over what he knew from the police, from his call to the Elysium, and from the fight with the vampire. Rhea kept silent throughout, but when he was done, she pulled her cell phone from the pocket of her jeans.
I take it you haven't read the news this morning, since you didn't mention this.
She showed him the front page of the Chronicle's website. The headline was red, Jim noticed. Red like blood.
Vampire murderers, strike again!
Jim read the article quickly. A slaughter had taken place in the Presidio by the trampoline park. Several tourists had been attacked by men. Three men, the only surviving witness said, who had bitten and drunk the blood of several people before putting them up in various positions around the trampoline park, making them look like they were still playing. The witness, a 12-year-old boy, had been told that if he kept bouncing on his trampoline, they wouldn't hurt him. He had kept bouncing, even as he saw the man in charge kill his older sister who had taken him to the park in the first place. According to the boy, the man leading the attack had been called Maurice by one of the other men. There was even a phantom drawing of a good-looking blonde man with a slender face, wearing sunglasses.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
Maurice,
Jim whispered, as his fingers squeezed so hard around the phone that his knuckles turned white.
The bastard keeps killing people in my city, and he somehow managed to take out the prince, although fortunately not permanently. I have got to find a way to speak to the prince, if I can figure out where exactly he lives.
What do you mean, exactly?
I know he lives up on Telegraph Hill by Coit Tower and overlooking the water. The vampire in the Elysium who answered the phone told me that, but he didn't give me the address. There are several houses up there.
Rhea took the phone away from him. Here, let me take that, before you squeeze it so hard it cracks.
Well, isn't it just your luck that your favorite teleporter is back in town, then? We can blink up there and check the houses quickly. I just have to know where I'm going.
We can see the houses on the hill from the Embarcadero, Jim said.
Perfect. There can't be more than a few houses that fit that description and are big enough to be the home of a prince. We'll check them one by one until we find a guy with fangs. No one will ever know we were there. How's that?
That's...
A knock came at the door, and Jim stopped.
Come in.
Mercedes poked her head in.
Sorry, I didn't want to just walk in case you guys were...
You know. Oh, Jim would never do stuff like that during office hours, Rhea said, making Jim blush.
What's up? He asked, looking at Mercedes.
Okay, so that phone call before? That was Daniel Ross. You know, the security guy from the Windy City. He said they're having some major problems in the casino and that he wants us to come down and take a look. No, actually, he said he needs us to do it. Maybe he figured we kind of owe him after doing all the covering up after...
Yeah, I get it. After Kronos and I nearly destroyed the city, Rhea said, looking ashamed. Not the proudest moment in my life.
Daniel said that apparently the casino is bleeding money fast, and if something isn't done, they might have to close their doors. They could all lose their jobs. So I told him I'd call him back and let him know when we'd be coming.
Does he need all of us? Mercedes frowned.
I don't know. He didn't say. Why?
Because I figure that this business with the prince is a little more important than a casino emergency, no matter what we owe Daniel and his staff. Why don't you, Matt, and Andrew head down there, and I'll stay here and see about the vampires?
You're not just saying this to get more time alone with Rhea, Mercedes said. Her voice had an edge of teasing in it.
No, I'm really not. Besides, three people should be enough to handle whatever he's got.
Okay, I'll get a hold of them and tell them we're going out of town. But what about Connie?
What about her? I just thought we agreed you needed to tell her to go home.
We didn't agree on that, but okay. If I'm going out of town, I can see your point. I'll tell her that we got a big case and that I'll come visit her instead in a while.
Mercedes sounded a bit disappointed.
I mean, I can see what you mean about her not being safe, but I kind of wanted more time with her. I haven't seen her in forever, you know.
Well, take some vacation days later on to go visit her. I don't think you've even taken a single vacation day in the time you worked for me. I'm sure we'll manage.
Okay, I'd really like that. But there's also the whole Charlie situation.
What kind of situation is that?
Mercedes hesitated. She didn't want to involve Jim that much in what was going on with her and Charlie.
Never mind. I suppose I can talk to him when I get back. Maybe I'll just text him.
He might be an understanding guy, Mercedes, Rhea said. And I don't know the situation, but I'd still give him a call if I were you. I know firsthand what it's like when someone just leaves. You end up feeling guilty afterwards.
Right. I'll give him a call and then tell the others to pack a bag and get to the airport.
Don't you need tickets or that sort of thing? Jim asked.
No need. Daniel said this is important enough that he's actually sending the hotel's private jet to pick us up.
Mercedes smiled her first big smile in days.
Private jet! How cool is that?
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.